is Justin Wong. It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95BFM.
Yes, this week we are looking into Hong Kong, where protests broke out since the start of the pandemic against China's plan to impose national security legislation. Last Friday, China submitted a proposal to its rubber stamp parliament, the National People's Congress, introducing, quote, mechanisms in order to uphold national security that will ban sedition, secession, and, quote, collaboration with foreign forces that could subvert China's rule in Hong Kong. Hong Kong is a semi-autonomous territory under China under a principle called One Country, Two Systems, meaning Hong Kong will decide Hong Kong laws with no Chinese law able to be applied there. It also means Hong Kong enjoys many liberties that China doesn't, such as freedom of press and the right to demonstrate. While Article 23 of Hong Kong's mini-constitution, the Basic Law, requires the city to enact similar national security laws as this one, it has to go through Hong Kong's legislature, the Legislative Council. An attempt to enact Article 23 by the Hong Kong government failed in 2003 after 500,000 people protested. However, this time Beijing used Article 18 of the Basic Law to include this national security legislation directly into Hong Kong's mini-constitution, therefore bypassing local scrutiny and parliamentary approval altogether. This legislation also allowed Chinese security authorities to set up offices in Hong Kong. Maggie Chan, a local representative at the National People's Congress, has said Hong Kong's judiciary should set up a special court that is only staffed by Chinese nationals to be put in charge of cases related to national security, while the police needs to have a special branch to enforce these laws. Hong Kong's sole representative in the National People's Congress's Standing Committee, Tam Yu Chung, defended Beijing's move, saying Hong Kong has failed to enact national security legislation in more than 20 years since the handover in 1997, so the move is aimed at closing a loophole when it comes to national security. This follows as the city is only 2 weeks away from the first anniversary of pro-democracy protests that broke out protesting a now-axed extradition bill. Since August last year, Beijing has been linking these protests as terrorism. However, China only started to take action on shaving Hong Kong's autonomy last month. Back in April, Luo Huining, the head of China's liaison office in Hong Kong and a hardline Communist Party loyalist, called for national security laws to be implemented to combat radical violence, foreign interference and pro-independence forces, saying Hong Kong's pro-democracy movement was a, quote, major blow to the rule of law, and many people have, quote, a weak concept of national security. It was echoed by Chief Executive Carrie Lam, who said in a separate interview that months of protests were, quote, a threat to national security. Chinese officials in Hong Kong also said that month that basic law articles that banned them from taking part in local affairs do not apply to them. These statements were followed by the arrest of at least 14 high-profile pro-democracy activists. While in May, despite months of calling for an independent investigation into police behaviour during the protests, Hong Kong's police watchdog, the IPCC, which has no investigative power, cannot summon witnesses and generally exists to review complaints already considered by the police's internal complaints office, concluded in a report that Raya Police acted within guidelines. Amnesty International Hong Kong's director Tan Man Kei has described the report as, quote, misleading and has no impartiality because the IPCC has no power to conduct an independent investigation. Keele University's Clifford Stott, who was on the IPCC's five-member foreign experts panel appointed to investigate police behaviour during the protests and quit only 2 months after being appointed, said the release of the report is, quote, part of a wider set of coordinated announcements designed to deliver the new truth. Just days later, public broadcaster Radio Television Hong Kong, or RTHK, suspended a 30-year satirical show after the communications watchdog issued it a warning for, quote, insulting the police in an episode in February. The government then demanded a full review of RTHK's program production and editorial processes. It also criticised the public exams body for a question in the university entrance history exam, which asks whether Japan did more good than harm to China between 1900 and 1945, saying the questions were biased and hurtful to Chinese people and demanded it to be rescinded. Later, Education Secretary Kevin Yeung said schools had a role to play in educating the community about national security.
This is more than just the school education. It's also about the education in the whole community. Because I believe every citizen also have a responsibility to make sure, to ensure the national security. In schools, of course, when the law is enacted and implemented, we will see how to explain to our students the essence of the law and also the underlying principles to them.
After the law was announced on Friday, Hong Kong's stocks plummeted, with the American Chamber of Commerce warning that the move could jeopardize business prospects and strike fear in foreign residents. The Bar Association has said there is no clarity on how mainland security agencies set up in Hong Kong will operate, and there are fears that the judiciary will be instructed to act in a particular way to, quote, prevent, stop, and punish acts endangering national security. It also sparked an outcry from pro-democracy parliamentarians, such as the Civic Party's Tanya Chan, who said Beijing's move means the end of Hong Kong's autonomy and freedoms.
Today, I think that it's the saddest day in Hong Kong history. It confirms one country, one system. Under the basic law, it's supposed to be passed, or at least it's supposed to be handled by Hong Kong legislature. However, the Chinese government can't wait, and they can't really stand the freedom and the freedoms and the rights we have in Hong Kong. So they try to take away as quick as possible.
She was echoed by her colleague Dennis Kwok.
This is the end of Hong Kong. This is the end of one country, two system. Make no mistake about it. The Hong Kong Policy Act is built on the premise that there will be a genuine one country, two system. If that is gone, then the Hong Kong Policy Act, I foresee, will be revoked or substantially revised very soon. And that means the end of Hong Kong as an international financial and business center.
Activists Joshua Wong and Glacier Kwong claimed in the Washington Post that under the law, activists or legislators who have participated in international advocacy efforts could be barred from running in elections or even imprisoned, while international non-governmental organizations and other organizations, including their personnel and assets, could also be subjected to legal persecution. However, Maria Tam, the vice chair of the Basic Law Committee, dismissed these claims. Who was she talking to RTHK's Priscilla Ng?
Now, by bypassing LegCo, some critics say that this spells the end of one country, two systems. What's your take on this?
Oh, no. One country, definite. If you cannot protect one country, you're not going to have two systems. The integrity of both one country and two systems need to be safeguarded. And the resolution today is to ensure that the first part is done, so the second part could be secured. Secondly, the Article 23 of the Basic Law is written in Chapter 2, which is central and local relationship. So it is within the sphere of the central government's authority and is not an article within the sphere of high degree of autonomy.
That evening, flanked by her administration and standing in front of a banner that read, quote, full support for establishing and improving the legal system and enforcement of mechanisms for the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region to safeguard national security, Chief Executive Carrie Lam downplayed concerns over the security law.
At the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves whether for a place like Hong Kong, which is an inalienable part of the People's Republic of China, could we do without that sort of system to enhance our ability to protect national security? I think the answer must be no. And since we could not do it on our own after 23 years, then this is a time for decisive actions to be taken by the central authorities. The relationship turned very difficult once we touched on sensitive issues that have a mainland angle. And you know what I mean. So I have been trying my best, but since we could not do it, I don't think we could do it in the foreseeable future, both in the executive as well as the legislature. So I don't know whether your term is the right term of giving up. I'm not giving up, but there is now another way of ensuring that Hong Kong will have the necessary legislation and the safeguards in place for national security. Hong Kong is a free society. Hong Kong will remain to be a very free society where freedoms of expression, freedom of protest, freedom of journalism will stay, because these are the core values of Hong Kong and are very much protected by the basic law. So I do not expect that protests will end.
Pro-Beijing lawmakers, such as the Speaker of the Legislative Council, Andrew Leung, supported Beijing's proposals, while another, Paul Tse, said it was time for some Hong Kong people to reconsider their strategy of constantly opposing the mainland. But this proposal is also raising concerns overseas. Chris Patten, Hong Kong's last British governor before the handover in 1997, said that the Hong Kong people have been betrayed by China and the UK has a moral, economic and legal duty to stand up against China.
Well, I can tell you what it should be. Led by the United Kingdom, which signed the joint declaration with China, and it's an international treaty lodged at the UN, we should make it clear to the Chinese that this is outrageous. The Prime Minister and the Foreign Secretary should make that absolutely clear. We should talk to our allies, our friends around the world, all of whom have a stake in two things. First of all, the continuance of Hong Kong as a great international city in Asia. And secondly, in whether or not China can be trusted to keep its word. Now, there are all too many examples of that not being the case. The way it's actually used, the preoccupation, which everybody rightly has, with fighting this awful epidemic, they've used that preoccupation in order to bully and harass in other areas, and one of them's in Hong Kong.
217 parliamentarians from 25 countries, including New Zealand's Simeon Brown, Simon O'Connor and Marama Davidson, has signed a statement led by Patten and former British Foreign Secretary Sir Malcolm Rifkind to protest the introduction of this national security legislation. Meanwhile, the foreign ministers of Australia, Canada and the UK have issued a statement critical of China's plan. New Zealand's Foreign Minister Winston Peters have said New Zealand is concerned with the national security legislation. US President Donald Trump has warned Beijing that Washington will react, quote, very strongly against China's attempt to gain more control, while Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen has said it will provide the people of Hong Kong with, quote, necessary assistance, as the island is sympathetic towards the protests and it has become a refuge for a number of protesters who fled the city last year. The Guardian reported on Sunday that the latest legal advice for Conservative MPs in Britain says it is wrong for officials to suggest they are bound by agreements with China to refuse a right of abode to tens of thousands of Hong Kong citizens who hold a British National Overseas Passport, known commonly as BNO. Currently, BNO passport holders have the right to visit for up to 6 months, but cannot automatically work in the UK or gain citizenship. Protests on Sunday saw demonstrators shouting slogans including, quote, Hong Kong independence is the only way out, which could become illegal under the national security legislation. However, more demonstrations are set for tomorrow as a controversial national anthem bill, which criminalises, quote, violations of the Chinese national anthem, will be read a second time in the Legislative Council.
Overseas experience with Justin Wong, only on 95BFM.